Yeah, I would usually say wedge, but I didn't think about like a 5-wood might not be bad to putt with.
You don't have a 5-wood. You can't use
it. I know, but I might think about it. I'm leaving it out.
I'll say Caleb has 2 3-irons in the bag. Welcome back to episode 72 of the Loggerhead Golf Podcast. No better time in the present. Seems like golf season's over. I know the PGA Tour is still playing. We had the Corn Ferry just in, so we figured, you know, no better time than the present for us to go into a break. This will be a short and sweet one. We're going to still do show and tell, but, you know, even us podcasters need a break too.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is actually...
welcome back, Daryl.
Oh, yeah. Special guest today, Daryl Posey. this break has been planned. All the guys here at Loggerhead have been behind the scenes working extremely hard on the big project, and that is the reason why we are taking a break. Got some new exciting innovative products coming down the line, new website, maybe not new e-commerce, so you'll just have to stay tuned to find out. We also have a new technology that we have developed that is going to be revolutionary. We're not going to spill the beans yet, but you'll have to stay tuned, and when we come back from our break, we'll be excited to talk all about this technology and how it's going to benefit the golf world. Really excited about it. Just need a little bit of a break here to finalize some things. And we got a lot of hard work ahead of us the next 30 days.
No, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing, it's, you know, we'll still have stuff on our socials, you know, follow along with things like that. But exciting stuff in the future for sure.
Sounds good. Yeah. Show and tell.
Thumbs up.
Damn, I'm already getting into the speculation podcast. Yeah. Wow. I wasn't prepared for this morning.
Who wins more, Scotty or Xander next year?
I think Xander's year is next year.
Neither.
Ooh, you're taking the field.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm. That's actually not a bad bet.
Mathematically, I mean, you have a better chance of that.
Right.
It's a smart bet, Kyle.
Yeah.
I think you'll have 3 new major winners and 1 repeat.
Where are the majors next year?
Augusta.
Yeah, we'll start there.
In Quail Hollow. No, that's where the...
U.S. Open's at Bethpage. No, it's not. What are we talking about? U.S. Open's at Oakmont.
Yes.
U.S. Open's at Correct. Oakmont.
Bryson.
I was going to say, I don't think we're going to have 3 new major winners.
I think there'll be 3 new ones.
The question is, who between these two is going to win
more next week? It is Quail Hollow next year for the PGA.
Really?
Again?
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
May 12th to 18th.
Ugh. Golf course is so overplayed.
We'll play it if you invite us, though.
No, I won't. I'm kidding. And then, I refuse. I stand on business.
And then Royal Portrush.
Yeah.
British Open.
Where was it this past year? Dude, why are we... We're blanking hard right now.
Oh, it was... it was where Henrik Stenson won his last time it was there.
I thought that was Portrush.
No, Port Rush is where Shane Lowry
was. Oh, Royal Troon. Gosh. Yeah, Troon. We're terrible. At this. Between the two of them, I think Xander wins more.
Yep, that was my pick.
Yeah. I'm going to take Scotty then.
Now, that being said, I do think those two are still going to dominate the PGA Tour. I just don't think there's the firepower on the PGA Tour. Their A games are way better than everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Rory.
I mean, and a perfect example is how many weeks has Xander taken off leading into the Presidents Cup, and Xander back to just balling out. So, I mean, that's the thing about golf. That's a great thing. It's like every single one of these players are super talented. They all have the talent to win. It's whether or not who can sustain it.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't count either of those guys out to keep knocking each other off. So, good question.
Scotty's a flush.
I don't think either of them win a major. I think this guy's going to be a major champion next year.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has played so good the last 2 years.
So he's been so close. Question I've been thinking about the last few days, who is the most underrated golfer in the world right now? And then Max Homa tweeted...
That was in January 9th.
The answer is Tyrrell Hatton. And this was basically at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recent play has proven they were probably correct saying that, right?
I would agree with
that. Yeah, Tyrrell Hatton won on the DP World Tour at St. Andrews this week.
And I would say, honestly,
tied course record.
He's been underrated his entire career.
How crazy is it? Where would you guys rather have, where would your number one course be to have the course record at?
St. Andrews would be a good
home. It's definitely up there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how? That's crazy.
That's national.
I was going to say, the only other place.
River Landing?
Any course of play? Duplin Country Club. Yeah, I know. That's pretty special stuff. 61.
Yeah.
Bogey free.
And then that up and down he had to win. You know, he chipped it through the Valley of the Sun.
I've always been curious. What is you guys' lowest round?
Mine's 63. Three times.
62.
Oh, 63 regular round, 64 tournament.
Well, I was just going to say overall.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 63.
I mean, 64 during turnarounds, still spicy. 63 is my low as well.
I don't play enough golf.
best round I've ever shot, though, 41-28.
I say, like, I had a round. I went.
Gerald, that looks like my scorecard.
Right. Yeah. I went 40-29. I know how you feel.
Well, I shot 41 with an eagle on that front nine. It was sad.
Oh, but if you want to see psycho scorecards, you can go look at my gym.
Just look at his right last, his last few rounds.
Oh, my gosh. I'll make six birdies or something. But
I mean, my lowest nine-hole score was when me and you played Pine Valley after I had COVID.
I think you shot 29.
I had seven birdies on the front nine at Pine Valley and then still shot even par.
Nice. That's a Mickey Beecroft scorecard right there.
But what I was going to say is because this was a pro-am tournament, right?
He played with his dad.
The round he shot 61, what was their team score? Best ball.
I don't know.
I mean, if
55.
Don't hear me. And they still finished second.
No, they won.
No, him and his dad lost by two strokes.
Oh, I thought they won.
Yeah. Nope. They finished second. So.
Well, the 55 didn't hurt things.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you got Bryson doing his break 50 series. Hell, they almost did it best
but
ball.
But to answer the question, like, scramble. When I think of underrated, like, I think of they're easily a top 10 player in the world that just hasn't won, you know, and obviously the LIV guys, I mean, it's a little bit like, okay, well, are we watching the stuff you have won? I mean, obviously he has won on LIV this year, but Tyrrell Hatton's always kind of been up there. He's been knocking on the door in these major events. He has like the perfect game that he can take everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not what kind of temperament he's going to have through
the
course of the
round. So what
kind
of attitude he's
got. I mean, it's great when they even said, like, when he made his winning putt, they were like he just controlled his temper so well today.
Good job, Tyrrell.
Yeah. You know who didn't control their temper well this week was old Bobby McIntyre. supposedly he thinks the 17th, the road hole, is the worst hole in the world of golf. Which, I mean,
it's because he probably made a triple or something.
He's just not happy.
Yeah. He probably hit it in the road.
That was a generalized statement. Yeah. I don't actually know any basis of that. But no, I would have to agree. Tyrrell Hatton's definitely one of the more underrated.
I agree.
Never have I ever.
So a golf score or golf never have I ever. Give yourself a point for each one you hadn't done.
Never made an ace.
So you got a point?
Yeah.
Tyrrell, explain why you won't ever make an ace. It's one of the best phrases I've ever heard. I curved the ball too much.
Yep. Yep.
Broken 80.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
We're going to play the game here.
Yeah, well, I've made
all right, so give yourself a point for each one you haven't done.
So y'all got 1 point. You've made an ace.
Yeah, I've made one.
All right, so we're at zero. Have y'all broken 80?
Yes.
All right, questions there. So we're still at
I've only got 1 point.
Use the same ball for an entire round a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. Once or twice.
Once or twice. Not a lot.
Driven to green on a par four.
I think we've all done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gone on a golf trip.
Yes, lots. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Taking a lesson.
Yes, lots.
All right. Made an eagle.
Yes.
I'm making quite a few right now.
Three eagles.
With doubles.
Just used a caddy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Gotten fit for golf clubs. That's a good one.
Yep.
Y'all have done that?
Yeah.
Cool. Up until two years ago, I would have said no.
Yeah. So... Yeah. How did we do?
I got 1 point.
Yeah. Zero, right?
You got to make that hole in one.
Yeah.
I know.
Got to get that off your chest.
Well,
I'm big into manifestation, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I've just been going on par threes and just saying, hey, I feel it. I feel a hole in one.
I thought I had one Saturday or so. What day was that? Sunday.
Oh, yeah. On 8. Oh. Or no.
Well, it 16. Sucks when 16. Your 13-year-old has two.
So you made birdie on 16?
Landon has two?
Landon has two hole-in-ones. His first one was at the cane patch in Myrtle Beach, par three.
Yeah.
And then the second one was at Castle Bay number 3. From the Red Tees, a little hybrid. I think he was like 7 years old. And it like one hopped, rolled on the green and went in.
Maybe you should take lessons from him.
I probably should.
I just been feeling it recently that I'm going to see a hole-in-one in my group, whether it's myself or somebody here soon.
I feel like it's been a while since I've had one.
I about flagged like 2 or 3 when we played last Saturday in the money game.
So are you telling me it's not a good mindset when you get up there and you say, I just hope I hit the green?
That's correct. That's not a good mindset. Okay.
You're not narrowly focused enough.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's what's happened.
Oh, dear God.
Now, you got to start somewhere. Callaway, MB1. Was that some kind of prototype?
No, that's an old one. That's like 2014.
It looks like the old X4s or whatever they had.
Well, they had a Japanese version of this, and then they had the Apex MB was basically the exact same as this. And then before it was the Apex MB, it was the prototype X MB.
It's
an old one.
MB1, so this is what Patrick Reed played forever. Yeah. My twin.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah. I've never seen them in person, so. But I imagine they look good.
Yeah. Probably hard to hit.
So Heath the Gala may have the most unusual golf club. I can say it how I want to say it. Golf bag setup of any tour player. And I read this. This is wild.
Did you see the photo and the video of them actually making it?
So you go driver, 4 wood, 3 iron. Pretty normal so far. Then 9 wood. That's unusual for a tour player.
That's different.
And then 5 iron, 6 iron, 8+ iron. 8 iron, 9 iron, some wedges of some sort, apparently, and then putter. But there's more than one thing. Like the obvious answer is the 8+ iron. Like that's weird.
Kyle will explain that. I'll say in the 9 wood. The 9 wood to me in place of the 4 iron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a guy that just
Carry the 3 iron?
He has two. Well, his 3 iron's a driving iron. So I wish it just said utility.
Yeah.
Because he only uses it off the tee. The 9 wood he hits into greens.
Yeah. True.
So.
That's why. I
mean, he can hit the 9 wood the distance of both of those clubs. That's probably why he has the 9 wood in the bag. Because this is a guy that's a true definition of good problems to have. He hits it so damn far that he has to really dial in his launch conditions with his longer stuff because he can go after greens that most people can't.
Yeah.
But why does he have the 8+ iron?
Yeah, so the 7 iron, he's never like the number nor the club itself.
The length, everything.
Everything about it. So Adam, so Jax, you know, at the time was the main tour truck guy, and then you have Adam. Those were your two guys. They took an 8 iron and ground it, and so changed the camber on the bottom, and then it has the loft of a 7 iron.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a unique bag.
Yeah. Do you guys have any like clubs in your bag that you dislike just – because of feel?
8 iron.
Now, what's your favorite clubs?
7 iron.
7 or 8. You hate the 8 and like the 7? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like the 4.
Don't like the 4?
Yeah. Love my 7 wood.
Yeah, my Kyle wood, my 9 wood at the length of a 7 wood is probably my favorite.
My least favorite length where I just never feel comfortable with the ball is a 9 iron.
I was going to say, like, it's the 8 and 9.
Mine's a 9 iron. My favorite length, and if I went one length clubs, I think I would make all my irons my 6 iron length. For whatever reason, a 6 iron to me is just like
interesting.
It just feels like, more comfortable.
It's also for me too, like the shape of the iron changes from the 7 iron to the 8 iron. Like the 8 iron gets a little bit more rounded, less angular, and just for some reason the visual of the 8 iron, like, just don't do it for me.
That being said, like what's because like honestly we never even asked this, what's you guys' favorite club in the bag though?
7 iron.
It's still at 7 iron.
Yeah.
It's not the driver?
It's a toss-up between the putter and the driver.
I don't know. 7 wood and putter.
Yeah.
Mine's that 7 wood from everywhere.
I say mine's probably my lap putter.
Sponsored?
Huh?
Are you sponsored?
That was an unsponsored ad.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I have to pull up your bank statements now.
You don't want to do that.
All right. Bag setup's a flush.
Obviously, it's worked for a long time.
He's playing great. Yeah. So.
Yep. If you left your putter at home,
what club would you putt with?
What club would you putt with? Oh, definitely a 60 degree.
Well, I would usually say wedge, but I didn't think about it. Like a 5 wood might not be bad to putt with.
You don't have a 5 wood. You can't use
it. I know, but I might think about it if I'm leaving it at home.
I'll say Caleb has 2 3-irons in the bag.
Oh, wow.
No, you have the hybrid in the bag.
Yeah, you got the hybrid in the bag right now.
Putt with the hybrid?
I've done this before on a bet. And only give me 3 clubs, and they took out my putter. So I had to use a 60 to putt with, and I love using that leading edge.
Yeah,
I actually use that as a drill too with students sometimes for face control.
Yeah, in college I had I was the perfect example of I thought I was better than I was. So there's a few times where the putter didn't last in the bag through the round, like not even like didn't even go with me leaving the tournament.
Didn't go the distance. Huh?
So
was there some breakage involved?
I've gotten really good at putting with a 60 degree. So that being said, haven't broke a club since. So
attaboy.
And it's been a while. So
you're due.
No.
This is a new happy.
I will say there's like nothing more like it feels so good. It's like you hit a bad shot with like a 3-wood driver and you just go. Yeah. It's just like, just a.
Let it go.
Don't break your clubs.
Actually, it's fine because we'll fix them for you.
Yeah, we will.
Keeps us in business.
Just don't come in and say, oh, I flushed it, and then it broke. Oh, it's like, yeah, okay, buddy.
We can tell the difference.
Hit it good. The head went further in the ball.
All right, Kyle, what you putting with?
Do I have to choose from one of those four?
Yeah. No, choose in your bag.
Nah, you got
in your bag.
What would you choose from one of those? And then you
probably a long iron.
Yeah.
Like a 2 or 3 iron.
Still the wedge.
Yeah.
But for me, it'd be 7-wood. Just because I use that shot a lot.
The reason why I'd rather putt with a wedge is I want to use that leading edge.
You do get a lot of shots around.
I was like, the only thing about putting with like a 5-wood or a 3-wood or 7-wood is there's a little
skid.
Pop. Yeah, there's a little pop off that face too. Like it's gonna be.
Well, if you come up short on the fringe, like that's where I use my 7-wood a lot instead of trying.
It gets it over.
Our collars are so tight around here. It's
maybe that's why I have so much rise in my putting stroke is that I've putted with a wedge too much. So just using that bottom edge.
Did you just have an epiphany?
I did.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
All right.
I won't know how to fix it.
Putt with whatever you want to putt with if you don't have your putter.
Yeah.
Or if you want to break your putter.
Yeah. What's the next one?
Live Golf's individual champion will win this custom ring featuring a hidden ball marker and QR code. So this is the ring that John Rahm won. Did John Rahm win?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, the hidden ball marker is a little bit lame, but a QR code on a trophy seems a little bit.
Does that tell you how much like money you made for the year?
I was gonna say, like, what's the purpose of the QR code? Scan it and see what comes up.
I don't think that'll work. We're gonna look like the families at restaurants that like don't know how to work things.
I'm trying to get the damn
menu. Oh shit! It worked. Just took me to Live Golf's
website.
Individual championship winners video 2024, and guess what, guys? Nothing on it. Perfect example of Live.
I don't want no QR code on my ring, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's...
You have a QR code leading you to nothing.
Yeah.
You get nothing. You lose.
By the way, you guys see Jay Monahan and the leader of PIF played together in the downhill links this week. So
played with Rory, too, right?
Well, Jay Monahan was Billy Horschel's partner. And then I don't know, because Rory played with his dad.
Right, but I don't know who was player.
I think they were in a group together at one point, but nothing will come of it. It was just all, I think, PR, marketing ploy. But I don't know. I think this ring, I think it's cool that they did this, so I'm not going to say otherwise. I'm not going to contradict myself. Because what was the other trophy that everyone was like, I don't like it? And I was like, I think it's cool.
I don't remember.
I think it was a ring.
I think it was a ring.
It was DeChambeau's ring.
The Crusher's ring?
Yeah, I think it was the Crusher's ring.
Well, that ring looked better than this.
Yeah.
This is a little too gaudy for me.
Yeah, it's pretty... It's something.
Well, I just think it'll go on a shelf. Like, I don't think... It's not like he's going to walk around with it.
I mean, he might get a knock on the door from Thanos to try to steal this thing.
Oh, man.
Does it actually light up like that, or is that just glowing?
I think that's just... lighting for the camera, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's a nice award, right? It's a birdie for that QR code shank. That's just
It's a little feels cheap.
Yeah.
It cheapens even though we know that's
right. It cheapens the whole thing.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah.
So. I agree. Oh, I think it's supposed to be a cool video.
Could have should have would have but not didn't. There.
Just have John Rahm dancing, trolling everybody that scans it. Thanks for listening. Like and subscribe and continue to follow us on Instagram. And then we will catch you on the next episode
at some point.